Making Dreams Come True. This is Dr. Herbert Albari, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Making dreams come true. Now, how do you make a dream come true? Well, that's a phrase that we have, making dreams come true, as though it just sort of happens and comes about by its own very wonderful, mysterious, and not that we know how to make it happen, it just happens. So, making dreams come true. Well, can you make a dream come true? Do you know how to make a dream come true? Do you know how to put a cause in motion to have a dream come true? Or are your dreams just all a bunch of wishful thinking that never will happen, that never will take place, that never will be yours? Is it just something that's, as I say, wishful thinking, you know? Well, most dreams are wishful thinking, because most people do not put causes in motion to have their dream take place. Now, the little boy who says, "I'd like to be the president of the United States," you know, and then never thinks a thing about it, and isn't the president. Time goes on, and he goes to live his life in a wonderful way, but never becomes president. But one little boy does, you know, like every 4 years, usually 4 or 8 years, one child comes along that is. Now, just as a sort of an interesting illustration, look at the Kennedys. Mr. Kennedy trained his children to be politicians. He trained his children to be diplomats like he was. He trained his children to be president. He had three sons that he had trained specifically to be president. Now, the one son died in service, and so he didn't have that chance, but he was trained to be president. Everyone said he was to be the president. He was to be the president, but he didn't make it. Then Jack Kennedy came along, and he was trained to be president, and he was president, and he got to be president quite easily. And then his brother came along, and he was the attorney general, and he was supposed to be president after Jack got assassinated. And he had a very good chance of being president, because the nation's attitude was, yes, let's have him be president, because that was not nice that his brother got shot, you know. And it's sort of an emotional thing rather than an intellectual or beneficial thing. He might not have been a bad president. He might have been very interesting, but he didn't make it. So how come three kids in one family, three kids, maybe more, you know, maybe some of the other kids were planned on it too, but they didn't want to get shot, and they didn't want to take the chance of being on the line like that. And they knew that it could happen, because people are irascible at times. So the Kennedy family was a dream maker. They made dreams come true. They made people president. And he took his money and he invested it in his children. He invested it in their program. He thought nothing of spending $1 million here and there just to have him be at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Now, you say, well, it's their money that made them president. Well, no. If they didn't have the money, but they had the gumption that the father had for his sons, and that the sons got from their father, the feeling, they would become the president. The Roosevelts were the same way. The Roosevelts came president and looked at the Bushes. The Bushes became president, father and son, and then another son is governor of Florida, and a few other roles that they had and they played. And they had money, but the thing is, they were top dog consciousness. Now, what is all this all about? Well, how do we make dreams come true? Well, we plant seeds. And the seeds that take root, unfold. And these boys who wanted to be president, they took root. Now, do you think that Obama ever thought of being president? Do you think he ever thought of being a chief executive to take a role in the world? Well, sure he did, very much. And his father and mother probably said to him, there's our little president, And these things oftentimes happen, and they're not played up because they don't want them to seem like they're, unusual in some way or gifted in some way. But Obama, what made him president? Did he believe 100% in himself? Does he? Yeah. Did he believe that he wanted to do something for the people? What was it that Abraham Lincoln, what won him the presidency? He didn't have a great charisma. He didn't have a great attitude about himself, but he believed in himself. He absolutely believed in himself, and he became the president. Washington, they made him president. They wanted him to be president again. Second term, he wouldn't do it. He didn't want to be president the first time, but he really did, because he built the government. He worked on the Constitution. He worked on all these things for which a president would be there. I think Washington probably thought of himself more as a king than as a president. And a president to him was not quite that important to him. But yet, that's what he created. And they were so against the monarchy in England that they couldn't take the word king and put it over this new country because it would be too dominant, too domineering. And so they just couldn't have it. But that's what Washington really wanted to be, was the king. And in fact, the early presidents wanted to be kings because the king sounds good, and it sounds like individual control and over control. And the president has just as much control as the king does. Mm-hmm. In fact, even a little bit more, because he can get things done. You go to a king, and maybe he can, maybe he can't, depending upon how his country backs him up or not. But a president has an authority that comes with the title. So how do you make your dreams come true? Do you ever have any dreams, and you wonder what they are, and how are they going to come true? You want to be independently wealthy? Do you want to be well? Do you want to have friends? Do you want to have a beautiful relationship with the people that are meaningful to you? What do you want? What do you want? And here you take Schwarzenegger. He comes over here from Austria, and he's just a little weightlifting fool, and he just continued on his weightlifting, and he was at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and he got in with different presidents as running the health for the United States, and then he marries well into the Kennedy family and so forth. And so, little by little, now he's governor of California, and they're not saying he did a bad job, he's doing a bad job, but they're saying the job is a tough one. And the woman who's seeking the role after him, Meg, is a very successful woman as a CEO of different companies, and she thinks that she can use her CEO genius to get in. Now, do you think Meg is looking at being governor of California? She's looking at being president. She's looking at being president. You can be sure of that. This is just a step into the president's shoe. It gets her name widely known and so forth, and she's a very wealthy lady. She doesn't need any money. She's spending her own money on her projects and so on. But I think when the woman retired from
eBay.
No, I'm talking about another person. When the woman retired from Xerox or something like that.
Hewlett-Packard.
Hewlett-Packard, was it? She retired from, I'm not talking the same one you are. This woman who currently retired from whatever it is, it's in the Business Week magazine. She absolutely wealthy. And her husband is a surgeon, you know, a medical surgeon, doing very well. And she loves her work. And she was there for 10 years, I think, something like that. And then she retired. She did definitely retire. She says, I want to retire while, you know, while I'm still doing good. And I want to retire and do some other things. But if I stay there, I will keep worrying about other things that can be done there, you know. And I've done my best there. I've done what I could. But that's not so much what the article said. The article said that whatever she put her mind to, she succeeded in. And she was the CEO of several major corporations. And they just invited her from one to another, which had problems, and she'd pull them out of the hole, and they'd do wonderful things, and she just had the magic touch. Well, now, she had the ability to make dreams come true. And many others have the ability to make dreams come true. But I think, and I don't remember the statement she made, but it was something to the effect that, yes, it was difficult for her to quit and give up all that power. She said, as the CEO, I had absolute power, almost, you know, in this operation. Of course, there's board of directors and other things, but I have choice of decisions, of things I'm going to do. You know, I'm so good I can talk anybody into anything, you know. But she says, and I had to do that because I shouldn't have all that power. Because having all that power, I felt that I was putting myself out of line with being a human being, you know. And I thought, what a remarkable thing to say and do. And what a remarkable thing to do when you can not do it. Now, if Roosevelt had not been king for president for four terms of the United States, if Franklin Delano Roosevelt had not, other people would have come along and done just a fine job too. And the country is not the president. The president is merely a guiding light for the country. And Truman, who followed Roosevelt, was thought to be a loser. But he was an exquisite president. He was a president that did something that none of the presidents before him had ever done. He was absolutely honest. And this drove everybody up the wall. Because they all felt that they should come in for their cut, you know. And he said, the buck stops here at the president's office.
Wow.
And I don't ask anybody else. I get advice. I don't pretend to know everything. I get advice and then I make my own decision based upon my own inner judgment. And this is making dreams come true. Now, Margaret, his wife, believed in him. And he came from just a hat store owner in Missouri to come up to be vice president and to be probably in some legislative role too. I don't know all that history about him, but amazing man. And the people loved him because he was lovingly stupid. He had a daughter who could not play the piano. He could play a little bit, but he gave his daughter every opportunity to play and said how wonderful she is, and the world said how wonderful she was because he said it. And the world loved him because he was a father. Because he was a good daddy who backed up his own kids. You don't think my daughter is a good pianist? Get out of here. Only people who think my daughter is a good pianist can come in, you know. And she played at Carnegie Hall, you know. But the thing is, her name drew a crowd, you know, and things like that. And she's never gone on, as far as I know, from there. But her dreams came true. She wanted to play and wanted to do these things on her own. But she didn't realize that her name went before her. And she couldn't escape having her name open doors for her. But making our dreams come true is just having a dream in our heart, is having magic in our heart, is having the desire, not the demand so much, but just the desire of doing it. Now, Ellen found herself in a quandary at the Apple Store yesterday, and she was talking to a couple there, and the woman was a young couple. They had just dropped their iPod in the toilet, and so they had to come and buy a new one. Well, what happened? Ellen sat there waiting in line, talking to the couple, and the girl said to Ellen, "Isn't my husband the most handsome man?" And Ellen forgot to turn on her love glasses. And she looked at the man and thought to herself, how could this beautiful woman choose such an interesting-looking man? Now, if Ellen were truly one who knows how to make dreams come true, she would have said to this woman, "You have such good taste. You have such good taste. You always know how to pick the man who's got the ideal man, who's got the most loving, joyful attitude, the most good with children, good with dogs, good with a wife, and good with a home. And you got the ideal husband." Ellen should not look at appearances. You know, she shouldn't look at appearances. Because you look at appearances, and you're only seeing yourself. And you're doing what you shouldn't do. Ellen and Ingeborg and Sylvia too, they look at pictures of themselves and they say, "Oh, that's not so good. Oh, that's not this." Instead of looking and saying, "Oh, it caught the sparkle in my eyes. Oh, I have that relaxed look on my face. Oh, my tan looks so nice on that picture." Now, it's true you're not all Marilyn Monroe, but who wants to be Marilyn Monroe? You know? You're not all some other person. You want to be you. And that's why you have the face that you have. As interesting as it is. No. No, the face that you have is who you are. And it's not good, it's not bad. I mean, I look at myself when I'm up here talking to a large group of people, and I think to myself, boy, Stefan would get up here and talk. He's such a handsome, dynamic young fellow. You know, he'd just win them all over. But they wanted to hear what I had to say. They listened to me. They didn't care what I looked like, you know. They accepted me just for who I am. But the thing is, if you want to make your dreams come true, start believing in yourself right now. Believing in yourself that you do have a sparkle in your eyes, you do have a nice tan, you do have, you know, you are the ideal woman or the ideal person or the ideal husband or wife. You are the ideal being, you know. Think those things about yourself. But think those things about yourself. Because as you think those things about yourself, magic takes place. And when the magic takes place, it is great. So, make your dreams come true by starting with you and looking in the mirror and seeing something beautiful there. It may not be what other people think is beautiful, like your beautiful nose, your beautiful cheek, your beautiful bone structure, your beautiful facial, whatever, your hair, your eyes, or whatever. But it's the charm that is you. The charm that is you. Now, I will ask Ellen right now, and I don't want her to answer me, but Ellen, that couple that you spoke with yesterday, what do you think they think you look like? Do you think they think that you look like a very lovely, happy, caring lady who shared a conversation with them? Someone who was thoughtful enough, even in their youth and your maturity, to speak together, that you didn't put them down or they didn't put you up, that you just were one with each other. Now, isn't that a lovely way to go through life? Mm-hmm. Is to have the people you meet remember you not because you're handsome or beautiful, not because you're intelligent or wise or dumb or stupid, not because of any of those things, but just because you cared enough. On the dog whisperer last night, the man was saying, every time I put my dog in the back of my car, and he had a very nice car, in the back of his RUV, the dog would slobber, you know, just slobber all over the car. He said, not a river, not a lake, but an ocean. Yeah. And the dog would slobber. And so Caesar says, and the dog wouldn't get in the car. He had to pick him up and lift him in. So Caesar says, okay, I'll take care of it. So he puts him on the leash. And first, before he puts the dog in the car, he has the dog be calm. And the dog is calm. Ah, what's up, you know. And then he took the leash and he tried to have the dog leap into the car. Well, the dog didn't want to leap in the car. He wasn't too interested in that. It was not a happy remembrance that the car had for him. So then Caesar put the ice chest outside the back of the car and had the dog step on the ice chest and step in. Well, the dog did it, and then the next time did it, and then the next time did it. And then they had another one of their dogs that the dog was interested in too. And so the other dog leaped into the back of the car, and this dog leaped in the back of the car. And in the back of the car, he just sat there. He was not drooling. He was not flooding the car. He was just normal. And then they got out, and they got in, they got out, and they got in, and the dog was just absolutely peaceful. Now, what was wrong with the dog? He was tense. He was uptight, and his salivary glands just worked overtime, and he just flooded the car. And, of course, he dehydrated himself, too. But Caesar put the dog in the car, took a pan of water, had him take a drink, and then took the water and sprinkled it over his face, you know, and sort of wet him down a little bit, because it was warm a day. And the dog was just mellow as could be. Now, did Caesar know how to make dreams come true? Did he know how to be so loving? He cared about that dog like he would like someone to care about him. And you see, that's what makes him so beautiful. He came up under not a bad childhood, but under a childhood where they worked with animals. And his grandparents were very sympathetic to the animals and very harmonious with the animals. And so he learned that. So he learned to be harmonious with them, not to force them, but to encourage them to do it because it was fun, because it was a good thing. Make your dreams come true by being yourself and having fun and loving yourself and not fighting it. And if you want what anybody else has, stop and think. If you could have it, then what would you do? You got it. Then there's nothing more to want. Every time the little children want what the rest of the kids have, as soon as they get it, they don't want it. Because they didn't want it in the first place. They merely want it because somebody else has it. But if your dream is wanting something that somebody else has, you'll probably get it, but then you won't enjoy it. You'll tuck it away and not do anything with it. But go after your dreams, what your real dream is. What's your real dream? Your real dream is to be happy. Can you make that come true? Your real dream is to be filled with joy. Is your real dream to be rich? Oh, yes, I want to be rich. Well, the hell you do. I haven't seen you save a penny. Rich people don't go out and just spend it. Rich people make money grow and work for them. So you haven't even learned how to make money grow and work for yourself. With a little, like the Rockefellers, they used to give their children pennies and see which one made the pennies grow and which one took it down to the bank and invested. We used to invest pennies in the bank. When I was a kid, we put pennies in the bank, and we had our little bank, piggy bank, and then we'd take it down to the bank when we got a nickel. And we put it in our account. They had accounts for us. Well, A lot of those people are millionaires today because they learned how to save. They learned how to make money grow. They learned they didn't need to spend those pennies. Their parents spent it. They didn't need to do that. You don't need to. When you get something, what's your first thought? Oh, I'll go buy a house for mama, you know, and daddy. No. Invest it so that you can continue to live off its benefits. But making dreams come true, first figure out what your dream really is. And then look around yourself and see it's already come true. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.